The Irish Times, election 2011.
Now, I'm delighted to be joined in studio by Gemma Hussey, one of the grand dames of Fine Gael, a former minister, a very significant political figure in Fine Gael for many years. And I wanted to get her view on a couple of the key issues around this election. The first one, obviously, is Fine Gael itself and its startling surge in the polls. What do you make of it all?
To start off, I don't find it that startling. I think that that should have happened a long time ago. We have never had a situation that I can remember, or indeed that anybody can remember, where the main party in the country has imploded, which happened to Fianna Fáil. In those circumstances, Fine Gael should be where they are now, and perhaps they should have been where they are now some time ago.
Why were they not?
There was the big Enda factor, and everybody was very concerned. I mean, except Enda, obviously, but an enormous number of people were expressing a concern that the real Enda, who we all know to be likeable, to be incisive, to be warm, funny, all that kind of thing, that wasn't emerging. He came across very woodenly.
Why was he coming across so woodenly? Because I hear this again and again from people who know him, that in person he's warm,
Absolutely.
He's convivial, he can be intelligent and articulate.
Yeah.
None of the things that we saw for so long when he was out in front of a
television
camera.
That was the problem. I've often likened it to the difficulty that Mary Harney had. Mary Harney was the same. She's very amusing, very funny and intelligent and warm privately. But put her in front of a microphone and this sort of monotone voice came out and people disliked it. The same problem that Enda had. Now, I think that what Fine Gael did, and did very well, that in the long run-up to this election, they took Enda away from front and centre and they put a lot of other people along in a line, if you like. And so we had a lot of very articulate people around him, and that was a very good thing. But he wasn't going to be able to escape the media thing when we came into the election.
Sure.
So sure enough, in the campaign, he was gradually introduced. He refused to do the first interview and he got away with not going on the first show, I think.
Well, isn't that the real point? Nobody was really going to remember by the time we got to
They probably calculated that. However, so now he has been up in front of the media on several debates, in a million press conferences, and even your own reporters in the Irish Times have been a bit bowled over. Cathy Sheridan has been saying things like, this is a warm, funny, interesting man. Where has he been? So he's got over that by now. I'm just hoping that, for him sake, that it isn't too late. Fine Gael should be getting an overall majority. Take the reverse position. If Fianna Fáil were in the position where they are now and Fine Gael had completely imploded, Fianna Fáil would be getting an overall majority. And we'll have to see.
Does Fine Gael, I've already talked to Stephen Collins about what the implications of the increase in the vote, taking maybe Fine Gael over 40% of the popular vote and getting into real overall majority territory. It would still only be 40% of the vote.
It remains to be seen, because our multi-seat...
So it wouldn't represent the settled will of the people, a majority government.
Except we have abided by our multi-seat PR situation for a very long time in this country, and we're not about to change it now. That's the way the cookie crumbles. You do your vote splitting, etc. When I was in government in 82, 100 years ago, we got 39% of the vote, but not an overall majority. Somebody made a mistake the other day in the media saying that if Fine Gael got an overall majority, he'd be following the footsteps of Liam Cosgrave and Garrett Fitzgerald. Well, neither of them got an overall majority.
In fact, no party's had an overall majority since Jack Lynch in 1977.
That's right. But there has never been a circumstance like this, ever, in 1977 or any other time. I think, personally, that Enda has made a remarkable recovery during this election. His image has turned around completely. I'm just hoping, for his sake, that he will be able to bring the party across the line to the overall majority. It's a very tall order.
On the one hand, an overall majority, and on the other hand, coalition with Labour. There is the third option, which is the option of a minority Fine Gael administration.
Yeah, personally, I think that would be a disaster. Because, let's face it, I mean, it's very amusing. I mean, I find it very kind of interesting and funny to talk about elections and calculations and look at constituencies. But let's face it, whoever those 15 people are who sit down in a cabinet room after this election, they are going to face the most horrendous difficulties, terrible difficulties. They're going to have to try and bring the population with them to sort out these difficulties, no matter what combination is sitting around that table. So that, in my view, Fine Gael with some independence would not work. I think that would not be stable, and I wouldn't go for that.
Do you think it would be very attractive internally within the party, though, in terms of having 15 Fine Gael ministers? And
well, I hope that wiser heads would prevail. I think that for the country's sake, that would not be a good option.
Let me move on and ask you about the other issue, which is everybody has pointed out the shocking performance of Ireland in international league tables when it comes to the representation of women in the political sphere. It seems to be getting worse rather than better. You were part of a wave of women who came into politics in the 1970s and the 1980s, and Fine Gael at the time, I think it's fair to say, was at the forefront of putting women into positions of political power and authority. What's gone wrong with that? Why is that project stalled, and what should we do about that?
Well, what's gone wrong with it, I think, is that we haven't done anything about it. In countries where they don't do anything about it, women have a very low representation. However, so many countries said, if there's something wrong with a system where 86% of our parliament is men, there's something wrong with the system, so let's look and see what are we going to do about it. In Ireland, we've never done that. We've never looked at the system and said, this is wrong, what are we going to do about it? Now, in the 70s and 80s, I was very involved in the WPA, Women's Political Association, and we pulled out all the stops in our campaigning and for women of all parties, and we began to make a difference. If you like, the kind of the highest moment of that was when Mary Robinson got elected president. Then again, of course, Mary McAleese was elected. But let us always remember that the presidency, which those two women have done wonders with, is not real power. So while we were congratulating ourselves about having women as president, and other people in other countries were saying, isn't that wonderful, not realising that our president, important as it may be, has no power, we have slipped back, and we started to slip back, really, about a couple of years after Mary Robinson's election. This is the worst election for women for a long time, with 15% of the candidates are women, and several of the women who were in the Dáil have retired. I suspect what we'll have after this election will be something the same or less than we had in the last Dáil. And I think that's serious for the country.
So do I take it that you'd be in favour of some form of quota type system?
I would certainly be in favour of a range of special temporary measures, as they have done in so many other countries. One of them is a candidate quota. In Ireland's situation, I'm talking about the parties that are in receipt of government funding. As you know, each party gets government funding. In France, for example, they passed a law that the parties had to have a certain number of women candidates, or should we say, had to have a certain minimum of candidates of either gender. Mm-hmm. And if they didn't, they lost percentages of their funding. Would you believe, I think there was one party in France, I'm not sure which one it was, said, all right, we'll lose the funding, we won't have the women. But they did badly in a subsequent election. So that in Ireland, we need a range of measures to deal with it. Candidate quotas are one. Now, when I say quotas, I don't mean putting women into the Dáil willy-nilly, just put that woman in the Dáil. Give the voter a choice. When the voter goes into the polling booth, that each party would have women on their list. That is what we mean by give the voter the choice. Of course, if we were ever to get around to changing our electoral system, which I don't think we will.
In
the short term, I don't think we will. I would hope we would. I would like to see a list system combined with a proportional representation system for a certain percentage of votes. But with the list system, you have a much better chance of having women on the list. They have all sorts of combinations, but that's not relevant to the Irish situation.
Isn't there a point, though, given that there's so much talk about broader political reform, not just around those,
yes,
those issues of gender? I mean, you said earlier, I think, that we had failed. People had talked about this for ages and people had failed to implement change. And isn't that as true of the role of the Senate, the problems of clientelism, as it is of the problems of gender as well?
Yeah,
should we look at it in a broader sense?
Well, I think we should, except that, unfortunately, who's looking at it? If it's nearly all-male Dáil looking at it, I think action has to be taken outside the Dáil. Women have to be energised. The people have to be energised, men and women, recognising that this is a really bad deficit in our democracy. And so there are, I'm glad to say, lots of different groups beginning to work on this. And there is going to be inaugural meetings of new groups, including one that I'm particularly interested in myself. It's called Group 5050. And they have the simple slogan, which of course is a tall order, but they're determined. It's called 5050 by 2020. And if we got there by 2020, it would be great. So there are many groups working on this. And I have to say, of all the parties' manifestos, the only party it seems to me to have a real commitment of any kind is the Labour Party in their manifesto. The Fine Gael Party talks about putting this issue into a citizens' assembly. Well, now, I have to tell you, I'm a little bit sceptical about citizens' assemblies. And if Labour are in coalition with Fine Gael, presumably they'll follow through on what they said. So anyhow, a lot has to happen for women. A lot has to happen for the country because we need more women in the Dáil. And let's face it, we didn't have hardly any women around during the years when we imploded the country. We didn't have women at the top of banks, the top of trade unions, the top of government, ministers, finance, Taoiseach. Where were the women? They were nowhere. I think women would have done a better job.
That's an interesting question, perhaps for another day, but for the moment, thanks very much for joining us, Gemma Hussey.